Welcome to IBBA Insights, providing expert advice on buying or selling small businesses. IBBA Insights is presented by the International Business Brokers Association, the world's largest nonprofit organization for those helping others sell or buy businesses. Now, here's your host, Crest Diglio.
I'm so excited about today's episode. Now, today's episode is going to be a little different than most. I have the honor and privilege to talk to not only a past client, but a friend of mine with a great story to share with us all. Now, they say business can be like being in a no-holds-barred fight where only the strong survive. Well, my guest today has not only fought the fight in business, but in the squared circle of professional wrestling. He's a TNA and WWE Hall of Famer and one half of the most prolific and decorated tag team in the history of professional wrestling, the Dudley Boys. He's won championship gold in both the tag team and singles division over 35 times all around the world. He's known for his hardcore and extreme style of wrestling. Today, he is active in the Ring of Honor and brings his extreme style to the airwaves as host of Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM. He also owns Team 3D Wrestling Academy, where they train the future of professional wrestling. It's my pleasure to introduce you to today, Mark LaMonaco. You may better know him as Bully Ray or Bubba Ray Dudley. Mark, welcome to the show, Paisan.
That might be the greatest introduction I've ever gotten in my life.
Well, you know, I could do it again for you, no problem.
Good to be with you, Chris. Good to be with you.
You know, I'm so glad you decided to come on the show. This is a busy time of year for you. We just came through WrestleMania weekend where you were very busy with Ring of Honor and your radio show celebrating the 10-year anniversary and had so much to go on. So thanks for taking your time out. And I'm kind of going to bring the audience, give them a little step back, a look into where we're coming from. I first met you back in 2011. I'm going to save that story for later, but I'm going to share this because I'll never forget this. I was surprised when I walked into the meeting that it was you, and you thought it was funny and have never let me live down the fact that I'm such a wrestling mark.
Yes, you are a fan, and it was very difficult for you to hide your fandom that day.
I tried. It was certainly difficult. So, you know, what's more amazing was that we even grew up in the same town. We didn't know each other and know some of the same people. And my sister to this day keeps asking you if you know somebody. And every time you tell her, no, Michelle, I don't know him.
As a matter of fact, I think your sister just friend requested me on Facebook. And I have a rule. Everybody has to sit in my Facebook purgatory for at least 6 months before I open up the gates of heaven into the Valhalla that is my Facebook page. So tell her she's going to have to hang out for a little while.
Yeah, I'll tell her she's going to have to find out if she's one of the chosen ones or not. I'll let her know.
Although, you know what? She's really helped me out a lot in the past, so we might have to put her on the fast track to Facebook acceptance.
That's between you and her, but I appreciate it. Well, let's jump right into this. You know, let's start off with the beginnings. You know, when did you know you wanted to be a professional wrestler, and how did you get started in the business?
I knew I wanted to be a professional wrestler ever since the first time I saw pro wrestling on television as a kid. As a kid growing up in the Northeast, watching the WWF back in the day on WOR Channel 9 at 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings, I was just glued to it. I loved it. It always drew me in. I knew I loved tag team wrestling right from the beginning. I always found four guys in the ring to be more exciting than two guys. And then my best friend at the time, his dad had a limousine service, and he had clients at Madison Square Garden. And they got us front row tickets. I must have been 12 years old. Front row tickets to Madison Square Garden the night Jimmy Superfly Snuka jumped off the top of the steel cage onto the Magnificent Morocco. And seeing that and being in the garden just re-solidified it for me. So I knew my whole life that being a pro wrestler is what I really wanted to do.
You know, I remember that match. I saw it. I remember I'm the same age as you. I remember growing up in New York, and I used to take the antennas on the TV trying to tune it in and to be able to watch the wrestling. The tag teams were always great. You know, you had the Samoans and the Moondogs and Tony Garea and Rick Martel and Fuji and Saito and all the guys that would make you go crazy. But speaking of, you mentioned the Garden. You know, you just had a tremendous event and honor that, other than the WWE or the WWF at the time, you guys, the Ring of Honor, New Japan Wrestling, were the first promotion to have a wrestling match in Madison Square Garden in forever? I mean, I don't know that anybody else ever has, or it's been a long time.
No other promotion other than the WWWF, the WWF, or the WWE, which is basically all the same company. No other promotion other than them, other than the McMahon family, has ever run a major wrestling event inside of Madison Square Garden. There have been some in the Paramount Theater that are attached to the Garden, but never in the actual Garden. Madison Square Garden is the home of the McMahon family. It's been their home base for the longest time. And this year, during WrestleMania in New York and New Jersey, WWE decided not to do any business with Madison Square Garden. And I don't think Madison Square Garden was very happy about that. Ring of Honor and New Japan always put on a show this time of year, and they called it the G1 Supercard. They got in touch with the higher-ups at the Garden, and a deal was struck very, very quickly, and a sold-out, ultra-successful show was just put on recently, just a couple weeks ago.
Now, you guys rocked the house, and Madison Square Garden, for those of you that don't know, many consider that the mecca of professional wrestling. I mean, that's the holy grail. People die to want to perform and main event in Madison Square Garden, which you've done many times.
I think beyond wrestling, I think it's, you know, for any performer, for rock and roll acts, for any type of act, you know, comedians. If a comedian can, you know, play the Garden on his own, it's a big deal. Obviously, for wrestlers, for boxers, for rock and roll bands. I mean, you look at like a rock and roll band like Kiss, who started off in New York City. Madison Square Garden is basically their home arena. Billy Joel, who has sold out Madison Square Garden like 108 times, his home arena. They call it the Mecca for a reason. And I've performed in every major arena in the world, from the Tokyo Dome to the Staples Center to the Allstate Arena to you name it, I have performed there. But the Garden, will always be the Garden. It's a very special building, and you know you've made it once you perform in there and you see your face and name on the marquee.
Yeah, that's incredible. I agree wholeheartedly. Now, I'm going to tell the audience a story, and it's a happy story and somewhat of a sad story, but it has a tie to us. You know, they talk about how many degrees of separation, but I remember when I first met you, I told you a story, and I'll never forget your response. I told you growing up, that Alex Rizzo was my babysitter. Well, now Alex Rizzo was one of your best friends, and he was known as Big Dick Dudley, and he's since passed away. But I'll never forget what you said to me. When you learned he was our babysitter, you said, did your parents like you very much?
When you say the name Alex Rizzo and babysitter, the first word that comes to mind is oxymoron. Because Alex Rizzo does not come across as the babysitter type. About 6'3", 285 pounds, with a handlebar mustache, wearing sleeveless shirts at all times, 22-inch arms, tight jeans, cowboy boots, long hair, and just pretty much an all-around badass. So when you say Alex Rizzo and babysitter, that's why I said, you sure your parents like you very much?
Well, maybe my mother liked him. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I can see that. A lot of the ladies like that, Alex.
It was funny. It was Alex's cousin, Chris, lived in the same court as I did in Dix Hills, and that's how we knew of Alex. And but yeah, I will never forget that story. How you know that it just always amazed me. I know you laughed, and I thought it was funny also. So
I miss him. He passed away probably like 10 years ago, but miss him a lot. He was a great guy.
Absolutely. Well, now I'm going to talk about earlier. I said how we first met. I'll never forget. I was walking into a meeting, expecting to meet the owner of a day spa and salon by some guy named Mark Lamonico. I had no idea who he was, but I'm like, okay, it's just going to be another meeting. And my jaw dropped when I looked up and I'm like, oh my God, that's Bubba Ray Dudley sitting in my conference room. I mean, you owned the most luxurious day spa and salon in the Orlando area. So I know everyone's going to want to know, how in the world do you go from the most extreme wrestler in the world, putting people through tables for a living, to selling services like Manny Petties?
I actually booked Manny Petties. So it's pretty funny. Yeah, the woman that I was with at the time, she was an esthetician, and she always wanted, her dream was to go into the, to be in the spa industry. She wanted to have her own place, and I knew what it was like to have a dream and a very, very upscale spa and salon in the Lake Mary Heathrow area was for sale, and we looked at it. And long story short, I decided her, you know, to help her follow her dream of, you know, owning one of these businesses. And obviously I was the majority owner on paper, and just bought the business outright. And I had 30 women working for me. I had about 15 hairdressers, about 6 massage therapists, 6 estheticians, and 3 mani-pedi girls. And that was an interesting part of my life.
How did the boys in the back treat you, knowing that you owned a business like that?
Not a lot of the guys really knew. It was kind of like not necessarily a secret, but it never really came up. I mean, my partner Devon knew, a couple of my close friends like Tommy Dreamer knew, but yeah, the spa was kept very, very separate from everything else. And like you said, it was a very upscale. It was a 5-star spa and salon. You know, like if you went to any. If you went to the Ritz, any upscale hotel, and that's where we ran. I kind of dove in. I know we're going to talk about this. I kind of dove in blind because it was more about making somebody else happy and just knowing that I had the money to do it. And I really didn't do enough investigating into it. So for a while it was great. And then it became just too much of a burden.
There's a famous picture. I call it a famous picture. But when you would Google the name of the salon, there's a funny picture that always pops up. And it's a picture or a photo of you with your entire staff, I think at Christmas time. And they're all standing around you in the front. And you're sitting there. I think you've got a Christmas hat or something on. But it's iconic. And it said it all. I mean, there are all these beautiful people sitting around. Not that you're not a beautiful person. And there you are right in the middle. Like, yeah, come to my day spa and salon.
It definitely was odd to have a pro wrestler, especially a pro wrestler like myself, known for the heinous things that I've done, especially the heinous things that I've done to women on screen, to be working with 30 women. The spa was doing so well that Kelly Ripper and her husband, Mark Consuelos, had approached us about doing a reality show about the fact that I was in the spa industry and also a pro wrestler. And we were going to move forward with the show, but the company that I was with at the time, called Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, who aired on Spike TV, they didn't sign off on it, and thus cost me that opportunity. So that's why we never moved forward with that reality show. But yeah, the spa was doing that well that a production company wanted to do business with us.
I remember that. And what a shame that was, because that would have been a great show. That would, just the personalities involved would have been incredible.
Yep. I think it could have really, really worked. And you know, looking back on it now, I wish I would have just never asked for permission, would have just asked for forgiveness. Because yeah. I think it could have been a great show.
We're going to move on from the salon in just a minute. But what I'd like you to share with the audience, if you don't mind, you said you jumped into being a business owner, you know, kind of blind a little bit. Someone that's looking to buy a business, you know, what advice would you give them? Any words of wisdom to share with them?
Make sure you know every little thing that you're getting for your money, and do your due diligence, and don't be afraid to ask questions. I did not really realize what I was buying when I was buying a business. And I mean, now it's quite evident and obvious to me what I was getting. You're basically buying a clientele. In the spa industry, you're basically buying the clientele. You're buying the goodwill of the business. But since we were changing the name of the spa and salon, there was no goodwill that came with it. Because actually the spa had gone downhill. So in changing the name, there was no goodwill. And then you get the products, like all the hair products or the, you know, skin and nail products that came with it. You don't realize that the space that you're leasing Everything that's attached to the walls belongs to them. Basically, everything in that building belongs to them. So you're not buying anything, you know, tangible. You're just buying a client list. And I believe that I wasn't savvy enough or educated enough into buying a business at that point. I just knew how much they wanted for it. I knew that the woman that I was with at the time was really excited about it, and I knew I could stroke a check. So I basically just did it. Going back, I would have probably never, ever made the move because I know I overpaid for the business. But in my 48 years on this planet, that was my one bad decision. That was my failure, and I learned from it, and all you can do is bounce back.
I know the story well, and we're certainly not going to mention names, but since the podcast is put on by the International Business Brokers Association, it gives me an opportunity to talk about this. You know, when you're looking at buying a business like Mark did, it's important also that you understand who you're working with as far as the business broker. And, you know, if you go to IBBA.org, there are a lot of great business brokers who are certified to do that. Unfortunately, in your case, and again, no names being mentioned, you didn't really have great representation. And that I know that was part of the problem. So, I mean, I'm sure you would recommend to other people to really not only check out the business, but check out who it is you're working with.
I don't even remember the representation I had.
Yeah, that's what you told me.
who was my representation?
Yeah, we could talk about that another time. I don't think you had any, but it wasn't good.
I remember going to a local business planner or somebody that worked for the city or for the state, and I remember bringing the information to them and flat out asking them a couple of times, like, "Is this a good decision? Or is this a good decision?" And they would never give me a straight answer. Yeah. And the answer was, well, if it works for you, and I just wanted to know if I was paying the right amount for the business, and I never got a good answer. And you know, now 20 years later, or however long it was, I do realize that I overpaid, you know, for a business. And basically, my advice to anybody else is really do your due diligence. Get into the books, get into the numbers, and find out what kind of reputation the place has.
All right, so sold the business onto the next stage of your life, right? I know you hit the road hard again. You were wrestling in TNA, Impact Wrestling, where you did an incredible and remarkable thing. You reinvented your career. You went from a tag team champion to a brand new character, Bully Ray, which you created, and you became a world heavyweight champion. I mean, that took a lot of guts to make such a move, especially at that point in your career. Now, there are business owners out there that sometimes have to reinvent themselves and change with the times, but can you share with them why you made the change at that part in your life, and how difficult is it to take a step of faith like that and believe in yourself?
Well, if I had to compare it to every other business, I would say that I accomplished everything I possibly could. Take any business, for that matter. At one time, if you're doing really well, eventually you're going to max out. Eventually you can't grow anymore. Maybe you need a bigger building. Maybe you need a bigger office. I don't know what it is, more of a clientele. But in the wrestling business, I had done everything that you possibly could have done. There was nothing left for me and my partner to do when it came to tag team wrestling. We had been to every major federation on the planet. We had won every major championship. There was really nothing for us to do, thus us becoming the most decorated tag team in the history of professional wrestling. So when we sat back and we realized, well, we're like 38. We've done it all. Well, what do we do now? We figured, okay, let's go our separate ways for a while. And that's when I kind of reinvented myself, and I became the character of Bully Ray. And then, you know, in the wrestling business, we have good guys and bad guys. It's sports entertainment. You want to cheer for your heroes and boo the villains. And the easiest person to boo is a bully. So I just took all of the the bad guy 101 bully traits and just presented them in a unique way. And it really worked for me, and it took off. And the business of reinvention for me worked so well that I became a 2-time world heavyweight champion while doing it.
And I know after that, you went back to the WWE, and the Dudleys made a big return. And then you were talking about signing on, I guess, for more time. And you went to Vince McMahon, who's probably he's the greatest wrestling promoter probably ever, and maybe that there ever will be, a genius in the business world also, just done some remarkable things. But I really think he missed the point on when you pitched him on bringing Bully Ray to the WWE. And I guess he did it because of the whole PG nature of the company. But, man, I really think you could have had a great run doing that.
Vince McMahon is a very smart businessman. I mean, if you took a genius and P.T. Barnum and Donald Trump and rolled them all into one, you know, you'd probably get Vince McMahon. Very, very smart. And he loved the idea of the Bully Ray gimmick. He loved the business that the Bully Ray character could have done. And this being a podcast about business, pro wrestling is a business, and it's a big, big business, and it always has been. And wrestlers are not just some guys that, you know, put on tights and boots and go jump around and get chairs smashed over the head. We're businessmen, too. And as a businessman, I had to sit there and I had to pitch my idea to Vince McMahon, the ultimate businessman in my profession. And from one businessman to another, he loved the idea. But because the WWE has this very strong anti-bullying policy, and they have a program called Be a Star, it's an entire worldwide campaign about anti-bullying, he told me that I can't have a character who has the actual word bully in the name. He goes, I can't have a program that promotes anti-bullying and then have a bully on TV. He says, I will get killed in the media. And I understood his point of view. He wanted me to continue doing what I was doing with the tag team situation. And although that business was working for me financially, and although he had paid me and my partner a substantial amount of money and was willing to give us a raise, that business no longer worked for me creatively and mentally. I was burnt out on that. So I felt I had to leave. And two businessmen shook hands and we parted ways. And I've always had a great relationship with Vince McMahon. And I know if I picked up the phone one day and I said, hey, Vince, I'd like to come back and work as a creative mind behind the scenes or do something else for your company that doesn't require wrestling, that he'd probably be open to it and I'd be working there. So that's really the story of why I never continued forward with the WWE.
Yeah, that's that, you know, and it makes sense, right? It's all about business. But kudos to you, though. You realize you could have taken the easy road and said, you know what, I'll just take the big payday and I'll just stay here and remain here. But, you know, you followed your passion and that was back to Ring of Honor and you're helping lead a great promotion nowadays.
I'm very happy with being with Ring of Honor because being with Ring of Honor, I'm only on the road about 50 days a year as compared to if I would have stayed with WWE, you're on the road 300 days a year. When you're in the WWE, you're basically married to your business. You're married to the company. You are in a perpetual state of touring. There is no off season. There really are no days off. You are constantly on the road. You are in a different hotel every night. You're in a different rental car every night. You're in a different airplane you can be in a different airplane up to 5, 6, 7 times a week. It's a very, very grueling lifestyle, obviously performing in different arenas all over the world. So that lifestyle wasn't going to work for me anymore. Ring of Honor has a very favorable schedule. It also allowed me to put my toe in the water with Busted Open Radio, which is the only wrestling radio show in the United States. We're on 5 days a week on Sirius XM. So if you have satellite radio, you can find us from 9 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern time on channel 156, Fight Nation. And we talk about wrestling. We talk about a little bit of rock and roll. We talk a little bit about pop culture. But there are so many diehard pro wrestling fans out there that's all they want to talk about is pro wrestling. And every morning they can get their fix on our show.
You know, it's funny because I know I harass you sometimes. You'll be on the air and I don't call in, but I'll send you a text message on something that you're talking about. I remember listening one day. You're like, yeah, you're telling Dave LaGreca, your co-host, yeah, my friend Kress just texted me this such and such. And so I try not to harass you too much, but I am a fan and I do listen. So, and I recommend everybody else listen because it's a great show.
Oh, that's not harassment. That's feedback. I mean, that's the same kind of feedback we get from callers who call the show or, you know, the immense amount of people we have on social media who are constantly tweeting us as the show goes on. And that's the instant feedback. You know, in the business of radio, you never know who's really listening. Radio ratings are a bit odd. They're not like TV ratings. So how do you know how many people are listening to your radio show? You might be talking to, you know, to just air. Well, when I log on to my Twitter every morning and I look at my social media and I see constant feedback from fans, I can assume that if they're being, if I'm engaging them enough where they want to pick up their phone and actually type something to me and send it to me, that they're listening also. And if they're listening, thousands of others have to be listening also.
Yeah, we just recorded a show that recently aired, and it was on social media marketing and the importance of marketing yourself. And you even said Twitter, right? Your customer, your audience, that's who pays the bills. That's what keeps you on the airwaves, and that's your way of communicating and staying in touch with them. So it's so important.
It's not too difficult to realize the strength of social media. It's how the president of the United States got elected.
Yeah,
he used his social media as such a tool to get his words to the masses that that's how he got elected. I use my social media as a tool to promote my radio show, to promote my wrestling companies, to promote my wrestling schools, to promote myself, anything and everything to get the word out there to the masses. Unfortunately, social media can become negative at times. I say that social media is like a drug and a lot of people can't handle their high. Social media is a tool. You have to know how to use it. You know, you have to know how to manipulate it, and you have to know how to correspond with your fan base in a way that makes you more favorable. Because at the end of the day, what do you want your fans to do? You want them to spend money on your product. My product is me.
Absolutely. And just for the audience, they might not know this, but on Sirius XM, obviously, the most popular and highly rated show is the Howard Stern Show. But I believe Busted Open is probably the second highest rated or the second best show, without a doubt, on there. When I say best show, I mean ratings wise, because as far as an interactive show, there's no show that compares to that. So let's kind of move on to 2018, right? You received probably one of the biggest honors in professional wrestling when you were inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, you're an Italian boy from New York, just like me, and family means the world to you. And I know it does because you and I have talked about our family. You know, my mom passed away and you've lost your parents. And so that night, although your parents weren't physically in the arena, how proud were you and how proud do you believe they were looking down on you that night when you were inducted?
Oh, absolutely. I know that they were proud. And I know my mom and dad would have got a kick out of seeing that, especially my dad. I think my dad would have just enjoyed it so much. And I think my mom would have just been blown away by it. And, you know, and I said during my Hall of Fame speech that they couldn't be here with me physically. So I had their mask cards with me in my tuxedo pocket, and I pulled out their mask cards and I showed it to the audience and I put it right there at the podium so they could be with me. They would have totally enjoyed it. And that night was a lot of fun. Being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame is a high honor. And we got to go out there and entertain the people one last time and thank the people that were important to us and go out on our own terms.
It was a great night. And I remember not too long after that, I believe on Facebook, I posted something. It was the passing of my mom's, the anniversary of my mom's passing. And you sent me, you know, you're a bad guy when it comes to wrestling, but there's no nicer guy in the world than you. You sent me a text message and you're like, they're having a glass of wine right now in heaven, just, you know, toasting. So, you know, family, especially being an Italian heritage like we are, you know, family certainly means everything. And I know it does to you.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I have to hang up now because you said I'm a nice guy and you're killing my credibility as the most hated man in pro wrestling. So if I hang up on you, people will hate me.
Well, you know, they might like you hang up on me. I don't know how popular I am, so you might keep it going. So, you know, and next time you see me, just put me through the conference room table. We'll be okay.
There you go. Those things are pretty stiff, though.
Yeah, never mind. Don't put me at the conference room table. Oh, well. Okay, so now you're part of Ring of Honor. We talked about that. A great wrestling promotion. You host the most popular wrestling radio show in the United States, which is heard on Sirius XM. You run your own wrestling school, Team 3D Academy. Talk to us a little bit about your wrestling school. I mean, you're training the future of professional wrestling.
We have two Team 3D Academies. We have the original one that opened up about 12 years ago in Kissimmee, Florida. And now that I'm back in the Northeast, we have one located in Danbury, Connecticut. The Kissimmee location is operated by my partner, Devon, and a gentleman named Billy Gunn, who just recently got inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. I run my school in Danbury, Connecticut, along with another wrestler named Tommy Dreamer, who's very, very well known in the wrestling industry. About 12 or 13, in 2005, me and Devon left the WWE after we had been there for 6 years. And we decided to go back to our roots. We decided to go back and do some small shows in the local high school gyms and the VFWs and the bingo halls, because I kind of looked at it as a band going back to their roots. And we were going to go, kind of never forget where you came from, and we were going to purposely go back to those places. And when we got there, we noticed something very alarming. Things had changed within the mindset and the level of respect of younger wrestlers. And they had just changed, and I had realized it's because of the wrestling schools that were out there. A lot of poor wrestling schools turning out a lot of poor wrestlers. So me and Devon decided that it was kind of like our duty to open up a school and put quality wrestlers back into the system. And that's when we opened up the Team 3D Academy, and our motto was old school rules with new school tools. And basically what that means is the old school respect for the wrestling business with the new school methods and psychology and character development that it takes to make it in the industry today. Wrestling business has always been built on respect, and wrestlers should always have respect for the wrestling industry and the wrestlers that came before them. So we opened up that school, and that one's been going strong for 12 years. We have many graduates are either working in the WWE, working in TNA wrestling, working in Japan, working for Ring of Honor. And then when I relocated back to the Northeast, I opened up a school here. And just next month alone, we have 5 of our students getting a tryout with WWE and 3 of them getting a tryout with Ring of Honor.
Congratulations. You got to be proud about that. And you got to be proud for them, because I know they're your students, but they become like family. I know who you are. They become like family, and it means something to you to see them succeed.
Absolutely. I want to see them succeed because of business. I mean, listen, on a personal level, do I want to see them succeed? Absolutely. But this is a business podcast, and I run a business, and my business is wrestling schools. So if a kid comes to me and he pays me money to train him, I want to give him everything I possibly can, all the tools to succeed. Because if he gets a tryout with WWE, I can now tout that one of my students gets a tryout with WWE, thus enticing other potential students to come pay their money to me to be trained. And if that guy gets signed by WWE, now I can tout them as a recent signee. And it's business just like any other business. The prospective student is my customer. He's paying me for my services. My services is telling him, teaching him what it takes to become a successful professional wrestler. And I teach them day one, Chris. Day one, I break them of being wrestling fans. And I tell them, this is the wrestling business. And the most important thing and the only tangible thing in pro wrestling is money. Because if you're going to break your back and destroy your body for the rest of your career, if you're going to go out on the road 300 days a year, you're not going to see your family, your wife, your husband, your kids, you better make sure you're making a hell of a lot of money while you're doing it, because that's all you're going to have to rely on.
Great advice. Great advice for everybody. So you're running, you're having a great run in Ring of Honor. You're doing great things there. The radio show is incredible. Your wrestling schools are through the roof. You're doing great, as you just mentioned. You're in a great relationship. Great part. Everything in life is going well. What's next for Mark LaMonaco?
Oh, I have no clue. I really don't. I don't even think about it. Right now, I concentrate on Ring of Honor. I concentrate on Busted Open. And I concentrate on my personal life. And that's it. As far as goals in the wrestling business, I really don't have any personal goals left. I've been blessed and I've done it all. I wish I could tell you that there was something on the bucket list. You know, I just performed in Madison Square Garden a couple of weeks ago for the first time as Bully Ray, which was my creation. So cross that off the bucket list. Do I really need to be a champion again? No. I guess my only goal is to kind of help Ring of Honor to succeed and grow a little bit more. Help younger students, younger wrestlers become better at what they do, entertain people on the radio, and enjoy my personal life. And I think too many people get caught up in the rat race and the business, and it's all about getting up and going to work and business and making money and business and going to work, and I got to do this and I got to do this. And by the time you know it, you're not enjoying your life anymore. And by the time you know it, you don't get to enjoy anymore.
And you can't put a price tag on that either. I'll never forget the conversation I had with my mother the day before she died. I was in the hospital room with her, and I knew she was going to die. And I wanted to ask her so many things, but the one question I asked her, I said, "Mom, if I could do anything in my life, what would you want me to do?" You know what she said? "I want you to be happy." Can't put a price tag on that.
At the end of the day, that's really it's all about. And I think we've gotten so caught up in all of the bull crap in life, you know, whether it's cell phones or mainstream media or, you know, the speed of life in general. We no longer take time to appreciate. And you can just slow it down and enjoy yourself. Do what makes you happy. I feel that too many people live negative, too many negative days. I remember back when I was young, every day was a good day. And then you'd occasionally have a bad one. Now it seems like more and more people are having bad days with an occasional good one. And that's definitely not the way it's supposed to be.
Not at all. I agree. Well, we're winding down and I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I got one last thing I'd like to ask you, and maybe that you could share with the listening audience. You shared your story, and we're so gracious to do that, but what advice would you give someone out there that's listening right now who is thinking about stepping out of their comfort zone and doing something different in life, and maybe even becoming a business owner? What's the best piece of advice you could give somebody?
If you're becoming a business owner?
Or anything in life. Like, you know, if they're just going to step out of their comfort zone. Today, they're an accountant, but tomorrow their dream is to be a chef of a restaurant. I don't know.
Well, if you have a dream, then definitely go after it and chase it. But always be sensible enough to know that that dream might not happen and have something to fall back on. It's like wrestling students that come in and, you know, maybe they don't have a college education. They always ask me, what should I do? I said, make sure you have something to fall back on, because if this does not work out, what are you going to do? Not many people make it into my industry. You have to be really, really good to become a successful pro wrestler in 2019. And not everybody, you know, makes it through the bottom of that funnel. You know, there's room at the top of the funnel for everybody. There's not much room at the bottom for, you know, a couple of people to squeak out every now and then. So what do you do if it doesn't work out? You have to have something to fall back on. And, you know, in 2019, with so many of these DIY projects starting up and people being their own bosses, you have to be aggressive and you have to attack. And you have to just wake up every day with that motivation to succeed. Well, I mean, the things that I'm saying right now are not innovative. It's been the way since day one. Have a work ethic. Don't wait for things to be handed to you. You know, don't have that sense of entitlement. Wake up, make your bed, make your breakfast, put on your suit and tie or your nice dress and heels, and go out there and destroy life. And make it. It's out there. The money's out there. Go make it. The great life is out there. Go grab it. I just think that people get caught up in a lot of negativities too much, and they they get hit with one disappointment and the second disappointment. Well, hell, if I was to have stopped wrestling the first time I was disappointed by the wrestling business, I wouldn't be on your show right now. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off. It's just like in the movie Rocky. Doesn't matter how hard you get hit. Matters if you get up.
That's
really the best advice I can. It really does matter. The only thing that matters is if you can get up. Get up, be happy.
Words of wisdom. And I hope everyone listened to that, and I hope they heard that, and I hope they follow it, because nothing in life, you know, comes easy. You want something, put it all on the line and go for it and work hard. So, Mark, I got to tell you, I appreciate you very much. I appreciate you taking your time out to be on the show with us today. I know you're busy, and I know you did it partly because I asked, and thank you so much. I mean, you've done it all in your career. You've achieved everything there is to achieve in the wrestling world and beyond. And again, I mentioned earlier, I know you play a heel and a bad guy, but the truth is you're one of the most genuine people that I know. You know, you've done pretty good for yourself. Not bad for an Italian kid from New York, huh?
You know, am I allowed to curse on your podcast?
Probably not.
Oh, no. Okay, well, I'll give it to you like this. You know, my uncle Nick, who is a very successful restaurant owner and a chef, he was a screw-up when he was a kid. And when I was a kid, I was a bit of a screw-up too, because I didn't really want to go to school, and I knew I wanted to be a wrestler. And now my uncle is like almost 70 years old, and I'm 48, and we look at each other, and we toast when we drink in our glass of Fortissimo, and we say, not bad for a couple of screw-ups.
Not bad at all.
Yep. Okay. But thank you very much for having me on. It was absolutely my pleasure. I was glad I got to speak with you. You've been a great friend and a great person that I can rely on when I needed some good business advice. You and your sister have helped me tremendously through that spa situation that we talked about earlier. That was probably one of the worst times of my life because I was getting sucked dry, and you helped me get out of it, and your sister helped me get out of it. And, you know, I guess you guys helped me out the most in a really bad situation. So it was my pleasure to be on your show.
Well, the best thing that came out of it is we became friends, and, you know, friends, in Italian, we've become family, and we're there for each other. So one last thing. Someone's looking to become a professional wrestler. You mentioned it earlier. You know, how can they contact your school?
Team 3D Academy in Kissimmee, Florida. Team 3D Academy in Danbury, Connecticut. You can hit me up on my social media on Twitter at BullyRay5150. You can go to Team3DAcademy.com or you can go to Team 3D Academy on Facebook. Basically, if you just put Team 3D Academy in the Google search, you'll find us.
And if they want to listen to you on Busted Open?
It's on Sirius XM, channel 156. Fight Nation, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time.
Thanks again, my friend. I certainly appreciate everything that you did today.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. Today's episode, guys, was very special for me. It was. I had a lot of fun. You know, I only hope you enjoyed it about half as much as I did, because if you enjoyed it half as much as I did, you had a heck of a time. As always, if you enjoy our show, we encourage you to share it on all your social media platforms. It's going to be a valuable resource to your coworkers and your clients and anyone that you know. For more information on our show, please visit us at ibba.org. Thanks again for listening today. I'm your host, Chris Diglio, and I hope you tune in for the next episode